That is Merle Haggard and Working Man Blues, and that's the subject right now. Will we have Working Man and Working Women Blues by the time 2030 comes about? Because we haven't trained people or taught them to be prepared for the jobs that will exist in 2030. Maurice Mislowski, our business futurist from Eye on the Future, is here to run us through his take on this issue. There was a report recently put forward that looked into what we're doing for kids and education now, and seemed to suggest that perhaps we weren't preparing them for the jobs that would exist in the future. But of course, part of the issue is knowing what those jobs even are. Maurice Mislowski is us, luckily enough, here to help us a little closer to understanding what that might be and how we teach our children the right skills for them. Maurice Mislowski, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kieran, listeners.
Look, it's been a subject that we've touched on multiple occasions over the months. Give us a sense, in numbers, Maurice, what you think will still exist as far as a proportion of jobs that we know now in 2030, and what proportion of them are jobs that we don't even realise are going to exist then?
Yeah, so I changed the word jobs for tasks, and I would say 70% of the tasks we're currently doing will be redundant by 2030. In other words, only about 30% of what we're doing now will be done pretty much the same way.
So you're saying more than two-thirds of what we're teaching people to do, to be prepared for, is not going to be useful by then?
Yeah, absolutely. Not just what we're teaching them to do, but what you and I mean, not you and I, but all of our listeners are doing now. Our jobs are going to evolve. The way we work is going to evolve. The world is changing dramatically. The education system, and it's wonderful, this is not about teachers, because I know them to be wonderful, I know them to be diligent. It's about the system itself and the way we prepare our children. The system, it was very much an industrial revolution model, where we knew what jobs were, we knew with some certainty 10, 20 years out they would still exist. We were fairly certain about the sort of skills that we would need to teach our kids to be able to get them. And that didn't matter what the job was, they were fairly certain. Today that's not true. Today we're literally teaching our children for a world that we don't even know how to frame. We don't know the industries that will be there totally. We don't know the jobs that will be there totally. How can we have such a prescriptive system? As much as we want to, as much as we want to love our kids into a job, we just can't do it the way we did our before.
How do we then address that, Maurice? How do we teach skills that we don't even know what they are yet?
We need to loosen it up, and this is really difficult because as a parent I don't like listening to this. I mean, I want my kids to have absolute skills. I want them to know 1 plus 1 equals 2, and that's going to get them through life. But the reality is that I need to give my kids much broader leeway. I need to give them from day one an understanding that there will be jobs for them. This nonsense about robots taking off over the world just doesn't exist. There will always be human effort. You know, in the 80s and the 70s, I don't know how far back you go, we've always said we're going to have a four-day weekend and a three-day week. I haven't found it yet, I don't know about you. It's just not going to be there. So our kids will work, but they will work differently. They will have six careers, they will have 40 plus jobs in their life. They'll work simultaneously. They'll more likely create work than be given work, and they will have to problem solve. So my solution to this is not simple, but what we need to do, the ingredients are well known. Yes, we need to give them the foundations we have before. The 3 R's still work, but let's not be pedantic, because the 3 R's were about certainty. I think we need to supplement them with 4 C's as well, which are very much human soft traits. And they're the things around curiosity, because our kids will not be able to say that this is the way it always has been, this is the way it will be. They'll need to think their way through what they're given and wonder if there's a different, better way to do it. They'll need to be creative in their ability to be able to look at that new space and think how it might be done differently by them. They're also, despite everything I hear that previous generations say, they will work more in a community sense than we ever did. They will work in tribes and teams, very seldom solo. They might be physically solo, but online, digitally connected to lots of people. So be able to work as a group is a really important one. And the last one for me is that we will have to give them incredibly rich and deep communication skills. Because not only will they be speaking, doing the verbal stuff, they'll be writing, they'll be speaking to people across the globe, they'll be using all kinds of different communication tools, and each one of those requires slightly different skills.
Right, so this is about not teaching predetermined information, but about teaching skills, processes, which can then be used in circumstances which are, at this stage, undetermined.
Perfect. Let's give them the building blocks and say build whatever house you want within sensibility. You know, the house can have 4 windows, 12 windows, 6 doors. You figure out what the people in it need and you build it. And the reality is you'll have to build it differently every time. That sounds exhausting for previous generations. We don't want to do that. But today's kids have been brought up, strangely enough, knowing that, even without us telling them. They know that the world changes constantly. They're not so fussed by it as we are. They're happy to say, I've got some basic building blocks, I can start the process and I'll build some more, find some more, do some more. Just let me do it and give me some basic guidance.
How then, Maurice, do we determine that we're being successful in teaching those skills, those processes? I'm just thinking about how we test currently for that predetermined information, how then you test, you know, for teaching the skill, teaching the process, and how does that then affect the three levels of the education system?
Yeah. Look, the one thing I hate the most about our education system is the way that we test students, because with the best of intent, we're teaching them for memory. What we have is a system that allows students to memorize, to learn, then go to a piece of paper, go to an instrument, and really regurgitate what they've learned back. It doesn't often show the creativity. It doesn't often show their application. So I think we need to test the inputs, not the outputs. And what we're doing now, and this is where technology will play a big part moving forward, is there are some really interesting technologies around called learning analytics. This is using some sort of device that will be with our children literally from kindergarten through to the end of their life, who knows them, their learning style, what they've learned, literally when they've been learning it, how they've been learning it, and it monitors them ongoing. It gives them help, so it says, you don't like to do things this way, so let's show you a video, or maybe you like to do a puzzle, or maybe you do like to write, or you do like to do it some other way. So it bends the curriculum to suit their needs, but always making sure the curriculum outcomes are met and monitoring them ongoing. I think that's one of the bigger ways to do it. Yes, there'll be big assessments at the end, but we need to monitor ongoing, because I don't really want to catch them doing something wrong. I want to catch them doing something right.
Right, so testing not in discrete blocks or times, but actually happening all the time, Maurice.
Yeah.
Right. Now, what about pushing up into tertiary education? What does this mean for universities? I do think that there was a time, maybe, that they were all about teaching process, teaching those skills, perhaps not quite so much anymore. Is there still going to be a place for them in this new system?
I think there is, but it's going to be vastly different. I mean, what I've just said to you is actually part of a keynote I'm giving tomorrow to a group of year 7s to year 12s. And then on Thursday, I'm doing university chancellors and telling them that I think they need to start selling their property. That universities are going to be part of our future. We will need higher ed, but we will not need it in the way we did before. We can't just have 1, 3, or 4, or 7 year qualification anymore that teaches finite information. Yes, we'll have some foundational study, and I think that'll be important, but I would love that to be global. I don't understand why there's a Queensland qualification, and a Melbourne one, and a Botswana, and an American one. We need global qualifications as much as possible. And yes, we can make them regional, top them up. And from there, we'll need lifelong learning. And what we're going to see is a space where we will have what I refer to as nano degrees, which are just-in-time education. So if you're about to do something and it's known through the technology that you don't know how to do it, it teaches you right there and then the process of it. Now, I'm not talking about brain surgery. Let's not get overboard. I'm talking about everyday skills that we might not use all the time. You know, the plumber might not have done that fixture before or not done it for a while. The accountant might not have done that piece of accounting for a while. It tops them up when they need them and then accredits them for having learned that piece just when they need it.
Do you think there'll be a space for it just to be downloaded, essentially, into our brains, into the wetware, as it were, Maurice? You know, of knowledge or information when we need it?
Look, I'm going to scare them on Thursday and tell them that the answer is yes, but it's most probably 50 to 70 years away. There's some really interesting work being done very recently around the ability to tap into our brain, add information into it, and increasingly, not subtract, but take it out and record it. Some really, really interesting work being done around people's dreams that have been captured digitally. And when you look back at it, and they've done it through a whole lot of ciphering, you know, the zeros and ones being crunched, you can actually see some very, very embryonic pictures from people's minds. So we're a long way off, but I think, you know, 50, 75, 100 years from now, we might be able to tap into the brain and help out.
And that's when the process part of it becomes so important, because everyone shares the same knowledge, essentially, if you've all got access to the same massive database. All right, scare us a bit more. Can you take us through, Morris, like a list of some of the key jobs you think will be gone and a list of some that may replace them in that 2030 period?
The list of things that will be gone really are better told by their common denominator, and that is anything that's routine, anything that a computer can do, a 1 plus 1 or what if, and can be written. Now, we've seen over the last hundreds of years, that's been the physical jobs. What we're seeing now, which is scaring many, is that a lot of them are thinking jobs. So I totally believe that accountants, bookkeepers, legal professionals, and the guys we currently have them, a lot of the tasks they do will disappear because they can be done by computers. So those kinds of routine jobs, regardless of how big we think they are now, will disappear over the next decade or so. And they'll be replaced by a whole lot of new careers and new industries, and some evolving industries. If we stick with the human, the absolute human ones, one of the safe bets that I'm telling all of my students and my kids as well is gerontology.
Yeah, aged care. We're
all going to want to live longer. Technology and medicine have conspired to allow that to happen much easier. We'll probably live to 90 or 100 in relatively good health. We'll be willing to spend money on that sort of thing. So let's not just talk computers and technology. We will need our tradesmen. No two ways about it. We're still going to be building houses. We're still going to need landscaping. We're still going to need our garbage picked up. We're going to need lots of things that we need now. Let's put it into perspective. But the tools that they use will be very different. There'll be people involved with robots that we've never had to use before. One of my favorites is a transhumanist. We're going to see lots of those, because a transhumanist role is mostly HR, and she or he is involved in figuring out what has to be done, and then is it better done with technology or a person, and putting both of those into place. So those sorts of jobs are definitely going to rise as well.
Yeah, managing that interface between the two of them as well, I guess, Morris.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to see those sorts of things. We're going to see the new technologies that we have with our augmented reality, as we've spoken about, which is the ability to see a digital world and to expect that to be real. We've had announcements of now movie stars, you know, not really being on the screen anymore, but digital images of them doing it. We've seen it with pop stars. We're going to see it in more sorts of spaces. It's great being used in medicine, strangely enough, for doctors to be able to pre-practice an operation. So it's not just entertainment. It's being used in all sorts of really interesting, cool ways at the moment, and more of that to come. And certainly a lot of this nano work that we're seeing, because we're really getting down to the smallest level of the human itself, but also understanding of the brain and all sorts of spaces. So some really wild spaces opening up for our kids to go into.
And what do we tell them? And Morris, advice to parents as well. I'm thinking of myself, got a kid moving into high school now, making decisions about what subjects to try and look into. And, you know, we spend a lot of time telling them to put down their devices. And is that kind of counterintuitive in that they're going to be spending a lot of time on their devices when it comes to work eventually?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they won't have devices. We'll move past them.
It'll be inside, by then.
Well, inside, but it'll be in the environment that we have around us. But regardless, that's tautology. We're certainly going to be using more technology. My advice to parents whenever I do career nights is a really difficult one, and it's not about our kids, it's about the parents. We have to stop loving them too much. And by that I mean that we are smothering them as we started with our insecurities about this future world. We're trying to wrap them up and to say, look, this is the only way that you'll get a job. You have to go down these roads. You have to do this. You have to learn your times table. And we mean incredibly well for them. But in fact, we're stifling them, I think, with our insecurity. So yes, do what parents have always done. We've got to give our kids give kids the upbringing. We've got to teach them morality. We've got to teach them how to be good corporate citizens, how to look after themselves. All the things parents have done really, really well. But I think we need to loosen up about the future of work for them, because it is so different. We just can't understand it well enough to be able to be prescriptive for them.
Well, sounds like I don't have to have fights about making my daughter do homework anymore based on that, Morris.
I'm not so sure. Look, homework to me is discipline. I don't agree with the homework part, but I do agree with the discipline part. And homework is a really big issue, should we or shouldn't we? And that's an individual and that's a school thing. But I think as a parent, yeah, we should be teaching the discipline behind that, but not the fear factor of the homework itself, and not the fear factor about using technology to do that homework.
All right, Morris, thank you so much. You've both scared and edified us as well. So we appreciate your time, and we'll catch you in a fortnight.
Yeah, look forward to it.
That's Maurice Mislowski. He's our business futurist. I am the future. Future Curious Times is also the e-magazine you can track down on the web. So talking careers of the